It's Child Abuse Prevention Month, and we are joined this morning by Executive Director of the Committee for Children, Joan Cole Duffel, who will talk to us today about something called Early, Open, and Often. Joan, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Bruce.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this campaign. What are the early, open, and often? What do those parts mean?
Well, this campaign is designed to help parents learn about and prevent the incidence of child sexual abuse in their family's life. So the reason we created this campaign is April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. And though the statistics have become much better over the last 25 years, in other words, kids are safer than they used to be 25 years ago, still today, 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 20 boys will report being sexually abused sometime in their lifetime, in their childhood. And most of the offenders are either known by the child and or the parent. So this isn't just about stranger danger. This is really about understanding what's true about child sexual abuse and how likely it is that it might happen in your family and what you as a family can do to help prevent it.
Well, sometimes it's hard enough to talk about sex in a positive way, you know, so now we're dealing with something where obviously there's fear involved with that. How early, I guess, in age range, should we begin some kind of a discussion related to this?
So, you know, first of all, I would say let's not think of this as a sexuality discussion with young children, okay, because it really isn't. This is a safety discussion. So, you know, you can have a conversation with your kids about safety, safety with their bodies, safety with other people from the time they're very young. And you can start by having just a very normalizing conversation with your kids just about using the right vocabulary for the private parts of their body so that when they're in the bathtub as a 3-year-old and you're practicing, you know, ears and nose and eyes, you can also correctly name the anatomical parts of their bodies. And that helps to normalize the whole conversation. Later, you can talk with kids about, as you're talking to your 4-year-old, about the importance of wearing his or her car and being in their car seat and being buckled in, or the importance of wearing a bike helmet when out on a scooter or a bicycle. You can also talk about safety around people. So we're trying to help parents see that this isn't really a scary conversation about sex. This is a conversation about being safe with people.
Well, as a parent, we're always concerned about protecting our child. At what point should we become alarmed, or what is the, I don't know, warning signs or something to that effect so we know that maybe something like this is taking place?
Well, one of the reasons to have this conversation, the content of the conversation, is partly about teaching kids to tell if something does happen, if someone tries to touch them inappropriately. So the best indication is if a child directly discloses that someone either tried to or did touch them on the private parts of their body or asked them to do the same. But barring that, if your child is simply acting very differently, you have to be careful because some of these indicators taken alone do not mean that a child is being sexually abused, but you might need to look at a group of indicators together. So, for example, if a child doesn't ever have potty accidents and suddenly they're wetting their pants a lot, take that indicator together with, my child used to be so happy and outgoing, and now suddenly he's completely withdrawn and scared. You know, some of those indicators together can cause you as a parent to sort of stop and say, I want to see if there's something that I'm not being told here by my child, and how do I broach that conversation? So these little videos that we have in our campaign really help parents through those conversations and teach them some of the skills for open dialogue.
In other words, they have similar role plays in a sense where you can kind of see how a conversation might go then.
Right. And, you know, you want to be careful in talking with your child not to lead them or put words in their mouth. You want to ask open questions so that if they're giving you this information, it's freely volunteered. It's not something that you've, you know, sort of planted in their minds. So, you know, we teach parents skills around that as well.
We're talking today with Joan Cole Duffel of the Committee for Children about protecting your child from sexual abuse. How do you respond to a child so they know that you are trusting them, you believe them? Many times you hear in stories where someone says you said it to somebody and then they didn't believe them. So obviously you're thinking you kind of cut off that communication. How do you kind of not have a reaction like that?
Well, I think it's important first to just for parents, and part of this campaign is helping parents be aware that sexual abuse really does happen, that it's not some fabricated thing, that it actually is more prevalent than you would think, and that it crosses economic boundaries, racial boundaries, and the like. So, you know, just being aware that it's a thing that happens. It's not something that just happens elsewhere. Is important for people in order for them to believe their child. And, you know, and we also emphasize how important it is for parents to believe children. You know, very young children in particular very rarely lie about this because they should have no business even knowing about this. So, you know, the younger a child is, the less likely it is that they're fabricating the information.
At what point should you involve other people, authorities, child services, that sort of part of it?
Right. So, you know, you really, as a parent, what you need to have is reasonable, it's in the law, it's called reasonable cause to believe. An easier way to think about that is if you have a suspicion that your child has been sexually abused, you should call Child Protective Services. It doesn't mean that your child was sexually abused or that you can prove it. It's actually the job of Child Protective Services or the police to come in and actually see if they can substantiate that. So, you know, what you need as a parent is to have a pretty strong suspicion that this has happened and then ask for help from your local Child Protection Services.
Do you offer also what to do once this maybe is discovered? How, as a family, you start to deal with an issue like this?
Yes. So, that's called, you know, we have a section on this called the ongoing response to the sexually abused child. What to be aware of if a child has been sexually abused, how they might feel about being touched or cuddled in a, you know, ways that children typically like that, but in this case it may actually be problematic. So how you approach that child as a parent in an ongoing way. And, of course, getting therapeutic help for the child is critically important. If it is substantiated that your child was sexually abused, you want to get therapy for that child, counseling for that child through your local sexual assault resource centers, because they will also guide parents. Those professionals in the community will really guide you and work with you on the plan for how to deal with your child in an ongoing way.
The campaign is called Early, Open, Often. If people want to find out more about this campaign, see some of those videos you recommended, where's a good place for them to see all that?
That's on our website. So they're free and available to any parent. Our website is cfchildren.org, stands for Committee for Children, cfchildren.org. And the Early, Open, Often campaign is right there on the homepage.
Some good advice for us today during Child Abuse Prevention Month. Our guest today, Joan Cole Duffel, Executive Director of Committee for Children. Thanks for sharing the important information today.
Thank you, Bruce.